It's interesting. When I got back from vacation in December and beginning of January, my desire, I was planning on kicking off a series, a 10-week series, actually on the Ten Commandments. And it was interesting because, you know, I hurt my back and there was just things and the studying and the stuff I wanted to prepare and be ready for that didn't happen. So I kind of, the Lord just brought us into different things, and it just seems like each week the Lord's brought us different things. And then I found out in meeting with our children's pastor that the young kids, that one of the next things that they were maybe going to do was walk through the Ten Commandments. And so I thought, oh, that would be really cool if the entire church was walking through the Ten Commandments at the same time, from our youngest kids to our oldest kids. And so that's something that she mentioned that might be next on the docket, and we're looking, and I said, hey, can we make that next on the docket? Can we put that one in here next? Because then what I'll do is I'll hold out, and I'll wait till you're ready to kick off that next one, and we'll do this together. So meanwhile, I've got like 5 weeks, I think, now, of where I'm like, what am I going to do for the next 5 weeks? But God just keeps showing and speaking and bringing new things each week, and so I'm just trusting in that. And the interesting thing, my message this morning was actually inspired by a young boy that happens to be in this room. He's actually kind of at the very back there. I can see his face right now. Now I think he's a little bit embarrassed, but I asked him if I could share this. Zach back there in the back of the room, little first grader back there, just the sweetest little guy. He actually came to service last week, wasn't feeling real good when he started the service. But the thing that I found out later that day is that he wasn't feeling that good at the beginning, but in the middle of service with his mom, he began to kind of almost, the words his mom used was he just began to wilt. And it was like she realized he was now getting sick. This isn't this full of energy young boy, you know. And so she had planned on just taking him home. Thought, you know, hey, Zach, I'll just take you home. We'll go home. It'll be fine. They were just going to leave in the middle of the service. But his mom, I found out later, said that he wanted to stay. He said, no, I want to stay because I want to go up after service and I want to have Pastor Darren pray for me. And here's the thing, Zach comes regularly to service with his parents off and on. Sometimes he's downstairs in class, sometimes he comes up here. But he's heard me say on a regular basis at the end of service, if anyone here needs prayer, I'm always here and I'm always available. And so because of that, he said, no, I want to stay and I want to have Pastor Darren pray for me. And so he came up here, and his throat was really dry, and he couldn't talk very well, and it hurt. And so he actually handed me a card that just shared what he wanted me to pray for. And so I prayed for him. And when I heard that whole story, though, it just kind of made my day. And it also caused me to just think about the importance of prayer, the importance of being people who come to the Lord and seek the Lord for prayer as we go through difficulties and situations, even sickness, because God cares about everything. And so I felt this week like the Lord was leading me to take some time to talk about prayer and to kind of look at prayer from a biblical perspective. What does God say to us about prayer? And as a matter of fact, I'm guessing that this topic might extend beyond this week. I don't know, maybe we'll fill the next 5 weeks up with a whole series on prayer, but I think it's going to turn at least into its own little mini-series, because the reality is there is so much for us to understand about prayer. There's so much that God talks to us about prayer in here, and we need to understand those things. Why do we pray? Why should we pray? What should we pray about? What shouldn't we pray about? And so the reality is prayer is a powerful, powerful thing. Or maybe actually what I should say is God is a powerful God who listens and desires to answer our prayers. We're actually told in Philippians 4:6 to make our requests known, right? Make our requests known. We're encouraged to seek the Lord, to pray, to make our requests known to Him. But there is something that we have to realize when it comes to prayer, when it comes to making our requests known. And so this morning, I want to share with you just three things that the Lord's put on my heart this week about prayer. There might be three more things next week and the next, I don't know. But I want to share this week three things that the Lord has put on my heart when it comes to prayer. And the first is this, and I think it's one of the most important things we need to understand, and that's that prayer isn't just about getting what we want. It's not just about getting what we want. You see, a lot of times we think God, or we think of God as this great big genie in the sky, right? You know, we just rub our little hands together and something, you know, like this or like this. I don't know how you pray, whatever, you know. But we rub our little hands together, do whatever, and all of a sudden he's there to answer our every request. You know, and there's a lot of people that kind of believe in the name it and claim it theology, you know, that says if our faith is strong enough, God will give us whatever we want. Now, I believe that God can do all things, and he does want us to pray, and we can move mountains through our prayer. But if we think of prayer simply as a means to get what we want, then we're really missing out on the true nature and the purpose of prayer in our lives. Because if that's our view of prayer, what happens when we don't get what we prayed for? If that's what we view prayer is, what happens when our prayers aren't answered? Now, some of you may be familiar with the name Ted Turner, all right? He's a billionaire that founded CNN, you know, cable stations TBS, TNT, other cable TV stations out there. And if you know anything about Ted Turner, he has openly talked about his disbelief in God. Well, I came across this story about him when I was studying this week about prayer. I want to share it with you this morning. It says this. A number of years ago, he was presented an award by the American Humanist Association, a group whose principles and teachings stand in direct opposition of Christianity. At the banquet, he told the audience that he had been brought up as a Christian, that he had been saved 7 or 8 times as a child, and that once he had even considered becoming a missionary. But then his sister became very sick, and despite his earnest prayers, she died. So he became disenchanted with Christianity, and he went on to say the more he strayed from his faith, the better he felt, and that's why he no longer believes in God. Now, when you think about this, this is such a sad story, but it happens all too often to many different people in our world. Many people have abandoned their faith for this very same reason that Ted Turner did. Now here's the thing, here was a man with tremendous abilities and resources who ended up abandoning his faith, and mainly because of his misunderstanding of the purpose of prayer. You see, prayer is not about obligating God to meet all of our desires. Prayer is about learning to bring our desires into alignment with God's divine will and plan for our lives and the lives around us. The purpose of prayer is to draw us close to the heart of God so that our will and our desires will be those of God's, not our own. We see this example demonstrated for us by Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane. In Luke 22:42, Jesus prayed, "Father, if you are willing, take this cup from me, yet not my will, but yours be done." What's the cup that he was talking about? It was the cross. He was talking about going and dying. He didn't want to die. He said, if there's some other way, please, I don't want to die. But not my will, but yours be done. You see, it's understanding that the kingdom of God goes far beyond our desires and plans. We get so focused on our life, but the will of God isn't just based upon our little lives. We're just a blip in all eternity, right? Now, God still loves us, but our lives are small compared to the entire kingdom. And the problem is, in our selfishness, we want God's will to align with our desires. We want God to come and do what we want Him to do. But the reality is we have to learn to come alongside the Lord and to pray for His will, not our will, to be done. Jesus didn't want to die the horrible death that was waiting for Him. But He did desire God's will for His life more than He desired comfort. When difficult situations arise in our life, often that's when we come to God for prayer, right? That's when we seek Him for prayer. And most of the time, I think we just automatically assume, especially as Christians, I don't know why, but we just assume, well, I'm a Christian, I'm praying, and it's God's will now for us to avoid pain and suffering, right? It's God's will for us to avoid death, right? But oftentimes, in believing these things, we miss God's best for us in those situations. God knows we live in a fallen world, and He uses the reality of the world that we live in to work in and through us. The reality is there are times that we may not know the right way to pray. But when those times arise, we need to go to God in prayer. We need to seek Him and pray His will, not our will be done. I wasn't sure if I was going to share this story, but many of you know that recently Bob Atkinson passed away, Karen's husband, and it was a situation. We had been praying for him for 8 months for his back. We thought he had back problems. Well, all of a sudden, he comes in the end of October and tells me that they realized it wasn't back problems. He now had stage 4 lung cancer, and it was one of those things at the end of August, and then he passed away mid-December, and it moved so quickly. But here's the thing. I believe and I know God could heal him. And that's what I was praying from day one. I believed and I was praying with faith that God was going to heal him. But it was interesting because the deeper and deeper we got into this, and as he got worse and worse, it was things in my heart that began to stir. And it was interesting, my last prayer was completely different than my prayers before. I had come to the hospital because they were at that point where things were just so bad, and it had progressed quickly. And I was just like, Lord, what's going on? And on the way home, I was just praying, and all of a sudden I just said, Lord, this isn't a matter of faith. I know, beyond a shadow of a doubt, You can heal him tomorrow. He can get up and walk out of that place and be healed. But I said, Lord, if it's time for him to go, if You want to take him, all I pray is this, that You take him now, and that it's not at Christmas time. And, we were about 2 weeks before Christmas, and I just thought the earlier the better. And that next morning at 11 o'clock, he went to be with the Lord. And it's realizing sometimes that what we want isn't God's will and desire. And we don't understand what God in His hand through all this. But it's coming to that place where we don't pray our will, but God's will be done. In Alexander, and I have no idea how to pronounce his name, it's Solzhenitsyn's book. It's one day in the life of Ivan Denisovich. This book, Ivan endures all the horrors of a Soviet prison camp. And one day he's praying when a fellow prisoner notices him and says with ridicule, "Prayers won't help you get out of here." Opening his eyes, Ivan answered him, "I do not pray to get out of prison. I pray to do the will of God." Think about that. What if that's how all of us prayed? If that was how all of us prayed, if instead of praying for a life of ease, for all of our comforts and things that we want, what if we prayed for the will of God to be done in our lives? You see, prayer isn't just about getting what we want. It's about seeing the will of God accomplished in and through our lives and to the people around us. God's kingdom is much bigger than just us. This is why it's important that we understand the purpose of prayer. Now, the second thing that I want to share with you about prayer that the Lord put on my heart is this. Number two is we must pray with expectation. We must pray with expectation. I think there are a lot of people who pray, but they really don't expect God to actually answer their prayers. And I think it becomes this empty ritual that we do simply just because, well, that's what Christians do, right? When in doubt, we pray. Oh, well, let's pray. Let's give it to God. But we don't really believe that God's going to answer those prayers. And here's the thing. I'm sure this is something that we've probably all struggled with at some time or another in our life, where we pray and we're really just lacking that faith. But the question we have to ask ourselves then is why are we praying? Why are we praying then? If we don't believe that God can move, if we don't believe that God can heal, that God can do the miraculous, if we don't believe that God can change our circumstances or the circumstances of those around us, then why are we really even praying? Now, here's the thing. As I share this, it's not to convict us, because we're not the first people to struggle with this aspect of praying without expectations. In Acts chapter 12, we actually read about a group of believers from the early church, right, who prayed for Peter when he was in a difficult situation, when Peter was in prison. If you have your Bibles, you can open it up to Acts 12. Now, the interesting thing is they prayed, and God actually answered their prayers, but the funny thing is they couldn't believe that God answered their prayers. What? No way. God actually answered our prayers. If you have your Bibles, you can read along with me here as I'm going to read in Acts chapter 12, verses 1 through 16, the story of Peter's miraculous escape from prison. This is what it says. It says, "It was about this time that King Herod arrested some who belonged to the church, intending to persecute them. He had James, the brother of John, put to death with the sword. When he saw that this pleased the Jews, he proceeded to seize Peter also. This happened during the Feast of Unleavened Bread. After arresting him, he put him in prison, handing him over to the guard to be guarded by four squads of four soldiers each. Herod intended to bring him out for public trial after the Passover. So Peter was kept in prison, but the church was earnestly praying to God for him. The night before Herod was to bring him to trial, Peter was sleeping between two soldiers, bound with two chains, and sentries stood guard at the entrance. Suddenly, an angel of the Lord appeared, and light shone in the cell. He struck Peter on the side and woke him up. 'Quick, get up,' he said, and the chains fell off Peter's wrists. Then the angel said to him, 'Put on your clothes and sandals,' and Peter did so. 'Wrap your cloak around you and follow me,' the angel told him. Peter followed him out of the prison, but he had no idea that what the angel was doing was really happening. He thought he was seeing a vision. They passed the first and second guards and came to the iron gate leading to the city. It opened for them by itself, and they went through it. When they had walked the length of one street, suddenly the angel left him. Then Peter came to himself." He woke up here, basically, and said, "Now I know without a doubt that the Lord sent his angel and rescued me from Herod's clutches and from everything the Jewish people were anticipating." When this had dawned on him, he went to the house of Mary, the mother of John, also called Mark, where many people had gathered and were praying. Peter knocked at the door, knocked at the outer entrance, and a servant girl named Rhoda came to answer the door. When she recognized Peter's voice, she was so overjoyed she ran back without opening it and exclaimed, "Peter is at the door." "You're out of your mind," they told her. When she kept insisting that it was so, they said, "It must be his angel." But Peter kept on knocking, and when they opened the door and saw him, they were astonished. Now, we see here that King Herod was trying to win popularity with the Jews, okay? So he had arrested James, he had him executed, and this went so well for him, right? He gained so much popularity from this, from the Jews, that then he thought, all right, let's keep this up. So then he arrested Peter, and they were going to wait till the Passover, and so to make sure that Peter didn't escape, he made sure that he was heavily guarded. There were actually four guards on Peter at all times. Two of them were actually chained to Peter, Okay? And the other two then stood guard outside the cell. So in reality here, when you look at the situation, the chance of Peter getting out of this predicament seemed pretty hopeless, right? And it appeared that Herod's, you know, bloodthirsty appetite for popularity would actually be satisfied once again, and we would see Peter's life ended. But if we go back to verse 5, it says, "So Peter was kept in prison, but the church was earnestly praying to God for him," right? And that just sounds so great, right? They were just praying for him, expecting a miracle, right? Well, you see that the Christians who were gathered in the house were praying on Peter's behalf, but when you look at the rest of the story, it would seem that they really didn't believe that their prayers would work. When you read the story after the fact, we realize now, number one, it wasn't the skill or craftiness of Peter that got him out of that jail, right? He wasn't Peter the Great, the Houdini-like escape artist, okay? You know, that slipped the chains and slipped the guards, all right? That wasn't who he was. Peter was actually asleep, you know, and through it all, it says basically he kind of come to his senses after it was all said and done. We also know that it wasn't the sympathy, you know, it wasn't working inside with these guards, right? You know, because there were four guards chained to him. And after the fact, if you continue reading, we didn't keep reading, they all lost their lives, right? They knew they weren't going to let Peter go because they would lose their lives. And they did end up losing their lives. The reality is, this was a miracle, right? An amazing miracle. There's no explanation except for the power of God. The people had been praying for Peter, and God answered their prayers. The only thing is, apparently they weren't praying with a lot of expectation, right? When Rhoda, I love this, when Rhoda the servant girl told them that Peter was at the door, they like, "You're out of your mind." They thought she was crazy. And it says when they realized that it was actually him, it says they were astonished. And my question is, but why? You know? Wasn't that what they were praying for? Hadn't they seen the miracles? This is the Church of Acts. They've seen the miracles that God can do, right? They've seen amazing things. Why were they so astonished? It's amazing to me how many people pray in this world, but they don't really expect God to answer their prayers. I don't think little Zach came up here last week because he thought, "Well, I'll have Darren pray for me, but it won't do anything." No, he came expecting God to move and touch him and heal him. And when we come before the Lord and when we pray, we have to pray with the expectation because God will answer our prayers according to His will. He will. And if we're learning to pray what He wants us to pray, we can trust and be assured that God will come through. Which leads to the third thing that the Lord put on my heart to share about prayer this morning, and that's this, is the third thing is we must be persistent in our prayers. You see, I believe when we pray, we need to be people that say, "Lord, I don't know how, I don't know when, but I know that Your will be accomplished. And I am going to pray with expectation, and I am going to continue to faithfully pray and pray and pray." Remember that faithful last week? Pray and pray until that day comes. In Luke 18, Jesus actually shares a parable with His disciples to encourage them to pray persistently. If you have your Bibles, you can open them up to Luke 18 or flip over there from where we were last at. It's the last scripture I want to read to you this morning. This is the story of the persistent widow, or the parable of the persistent widow that Jesus shares with His disciples, beginning of chapter 18, verses 1 through 8. I'm going to read to you this morning. It says this. It says, "Then Jesus told His disciples a parable to show them they should always pray and not give up. He said, 'In a certain town there was a judge who neither feared God nor cared about men. And there was a widow in that town who kept coming to him with the plea, "Grant me justice against my adversary." For some time he refused. But finally he said to himself, even though I don't fear God or care about men, yet because this widow keeps bothering me, she's persistent, she keeps coming and keeps coming, right? He says, I will see that she gets justice so that she won't eventually wear me out with her coming. And the Lord said, listen to what the unjust judge says. And will not God bring about justice for his chosen ones who cries out to him day and night? Will he keep putting them off? I tell you, he will see that they get justice and quickly. We're told here at the very beginning in verse 1 that Jesus shared this parable with his disciples so that they would always pray and that they wouldn't give up. And it's a reminder that we must be persistent in our prayers. As I was studying about being persistent in prayer, I came across the story of Howard Hendricks, or a story about Howard Hendricks. And I want to share it with you this morning. It says this. It says, Howard became a Christian as a young boy and was a well-known Christian professor and writer in Dallas, Texas. Not here. That little town somewhere south. His father, George, a career soldier, was not a Christian. Many times throughout his life, Howard tried to talk to him about his need for Jesus, but his father would just brush it off. Son, don't worry about me. I'll work it out. All Howard and his family could do was pray. And in some of the seminars that he did, he would tell the people about his dad and ask them to pray for him too. For 42 years, Howard prayed for his father. Through all his years of military service overseas, and then when he retired to his home in Arlington, Virginia, he continued to pray. Then one day, a young preacher in Arlington, Virginia, by the name of Butch Hardman, was given a cassette tape made at one of Howard's seminars. In it, Howard mentioned his father and his father's need for Christ. Even though both Butch and Howard's father lived in Arlington, they had never met, but Butch was so moved by George Hendricks' need for Jesus that he just began to pray for him as well. Then one day, while Butch was driving down the street, he saw a man standing on the corner who reminded him of Howard Hendricks. Could that possibly be Howard's father? He backed his vehicle up, got out, went over to the man. He says, Are you by any chance Howard Hendricks' father? Now, it's easy to imagine the startled response. Yeah, are you a student of my son's? No, he said, but I've listened to his seminars. He then asked his father if he had time for a cup of coffee. That encounter began a friendship engineered by the Spirit of God. Butch sensed Mr. Hendricks' hesitancy when he first discovered that Butch was a preacher. So Butch didn't try to invite him to attend his church, but he did invite him to stop by his office any time for a cup of coffee and to talk. Well, as an old soldier who had seen a lot of action and now with plenty of time on his hands, Mr. Hendricks began to stop by the pastor's office regularly. Butch enjoyed their time together, patiently enduring the smoldering cigars and his endless cycle of war stories in the hope that there would be an opportunity for him to someday talk to him about Jesus. Then, Mr. Hendricks was diagnosed with throat cancer, and it wasn't long until their visits had to be moved from Butch's office to Mr. Hendricks' home. And one day, Butch said, Mr. Hendricks, instead of my listening to your stories today, would you let me tell you a story? Butch had earned that right, and so he began to tell him the story of Nicodemus. As their conversation drew to a close, Mr. Hendricks accepted Jesus Christ as his own personal Savior. Howard Hendricks said, the last time I saw Dad alive, I could not believe he was the same man I had known. His frame, yes, was weak and a little wasted, but his spirit was more alive than I had ever known him. Howard says, in accordance with my father's request, Butch conducted the military funeral in Arlington Cemetery, and as the guns saluted their final farewell, I knew God had answered 42 years of prayer. 42 years of praying and lifting up his father. That's persistent prayer. And I can tell you numerous stories of people who prayed persistently for years, for loved ones, for family members, for sicknesses, for situations. And Jesus himself told the disciples, do not give up on prayer. Continue to faithfully pray. We have to trust in God's will and in God's timing in our lives. In the past year, I had a conversation with someone whose daughters prayed for him for years before he finally became a Christian. And he said something along these lines to me. He said, I just don't understand why it took me so long to figure things out. The reality is, I can't answer that question. No one on this earth can answer that question. We just have to trust in the Lord because His timing is perfect. We don't understand why some people we have to pray for 42 years and other people we pray for a year and they get saved. We don't understand. But I know this, God, He's never too early and He's never late. He's always right on time. And so our job is to just keep praying. And as we pray, we have to remember prayer isn't just about us getting what we want. It's trusting in God's will for our life. We have to pray with expectation. Otherwise, why are we even praying? We have to trust and believe because God is God. And He is powerful and He can do all things. And if we're praying for His will to be done, it will be accomplished. And we have to pray with expectation. And we must be persistent in our prayers. We can't give up, especially for those that we love. We have to continue to pray and trust in God's hand upon their lives. Amen? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank You for, Lord, this word on prayer and the things that, Lord, You're teaching me and teaching us as a church, Lord. We want to be people who pray. We want to be people who seek You. And Lord, I know I even mentioned last week how I really believe one of the reasons where we're at as a church is because of every Tuesday morning, a group of us coming together and praying, faithfully praying and trusting and believing and knowing that You are God. Lord, You're the God of this church. You're the God of these people, of all of us, Lord. And we want to be people who faithfully learn how to seek You. We faithfully learn how to pray, Lord, not what we desire, not our wants, but Lord, we learn to come alongside You, that we get close to You and we begin to pray, Lord, not our will, but Your will be done. Because when we pray with Your will, Lord, we can move mountains, Lord, because You have the power to do anything. And so, Lord, we thank You for these things, and we just pray You encourage us in this heart of prayer. Let us pray with expectation. But, Lord, even as we pray with expectation, I think of just even recently, Lord, two people I prayed, and I started believing that You were going to heal them. And the reality is, Lord, You did. You restored them to completeness in and through You, and they are now in heaven with You. And we can exalt in that. But it's hard from the perspective of us here on this earth to trust in Your hand in some of those things, Lord. But may we pray with expectation and know that Your will be done, Lord Jesus. And may we be okay with Your will and trust that You are our strength through the ups and downs of this thing we call life, Lord, as we seek to follow You and serve You, Lord. So, Lord, just pray that You encourage us today. Allow these words to penetrate each of our hearts, Lord, wherever we're at. May each of these things hit us differently, Lord. Whatever You want to speak to each of us, may we grab hold of it and begin to act it out in our lives, Lord. We thank You and praise You for Your word. We thank You for the fact that we have the ability to call upon our Savior, that we have the ability to make our requests known, to let You know our heart, and to be able to trust in You because You care about us, You care about our families, You care about everybody more than we ever could, Lord, and You always have our best interest at hand. Though we may not see it or understand it, That's the reality of all things, Lord. And so we thank you and we praise you for these things and we give them to you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.